Welcome back to the LifePoint DriveCast. This is Paul from Marion. Thanks so much for joining us today. I want to pick up in verse 19. The woman at the well, which is, you know, what we're looking at in this series. So if it's your first time here joining us on the DriveCast, sorry for jumping right in there. We're looking at this interaction between Jesus and a woman at the well, at a well in Samaria. And we see Jesus at the end of last week's passage in verse 18, pointing out the reality that this woman has had five different husbands, and the one that she is with now is not her husband. And this week, then, we started with, well, what's her reaction to that? What's her response? And she says, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet." And here's a difficult part about this. We don't know what her tone is. It could have been the, "Sir, I perceive that you're a prophet." It could have been, "Sir, I perceive that you're a prophet." It, you know, like, just these little shifts in intonation make a big difference. I think the most typical reading of this is that this is defensiveness. I think the "sir" word there could be an indicator or a clue there. And I think that's certainly a legitimate reading and very well could be the reading here. But I look at this and I think her acknowledgement of him as prophet is really, really significant in that this is not her putting up a wall. This is, I think, her leaning in. And the reason I think that is, as a Samaritan, the Samaritan Bible only consisted of the first five books of the Bible, the books of Moses. And so as a result of that, the Samaritans, they rejected any other prophets that the Jews would have believed in after Moses, you know, guys like Isaiah or Jeremiah, Ezekiel. And so for her, as a Samaritan, who has been talking in religious language and continues to do so, for her to acknowledge that Jesus is a prophet, I think is her leaning in. Because the Samaritans, they did believe in the prophet that was to come, that was prophesied by Moses in Deuteronomy 18:18. And so her saying, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet," I think it's her looking at Jesus and saying, "Okay, there's something different about you. I'm not sure if you're the prophet, but I believe you are a prophet." To a Samaritan, huge deal. And then look at her next question. "Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you say that in Jerusalem is the place where people ought to worship." Again, you could read that as defensiveness, or you could read it as, "Okay, you're a prophet, I got questions. I want to know how to worship God. You say it's in Jerusalem. The Samaritans, we say we need to worship on the mountain. What is it?" She's leaning, again, I think she's leaning in. And remember who this woman is. This woman has lost five different husbands, relationships. She is an outcast in her own society. She is an outsider among outsiders. And then what's really fascinating and beautiful in this, if you look at the Samaritan view of the prophet that was to come, prophesied by Moses, and again, Deuteronomy 18:18, the word that they use for that prophet is the Teheb. And the translation of the Teheb is the restorer. And so now you have this woman who has lost so much, who's had so much ripped away from her, face to face with the restorer. It's pretty incredible. And I think, again, she's leaning in. She's asking, "Well, how then do I worship?" And he says, "In spirit and truth." It's a difficult thing to understand, but ultimately the truth is Jesus. Jesus says, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father except through me." The Word of God is the truth. Jesus says the Word of God, it's ultimately all about him. It all points to who he is. Jesus is the truth. And so true worship is found in Christ, but in spirit as well. Is that God's spirit? Is that our spirit? Well, Jesus gives us, I think, some insight into that when he's talking back in chapter 4 to Nicodemus. He says, "That which is born of flesh is flesh, that which is born of spirit is spirit." And you notice one of the words "spirit" there is capitalized and one is not. So when we are reborn by the power of the Holy Spirit through faith in Jesus, we are reborn in our own spirit. And so true worship then is this focusing on Jesus. It's a valuing of Jesus from our whole being. And therefore it is not limited to location. It's really a lifestyle. And I think Jesus is then teaching her and showing her that. And I think, again, she's leaning in, because her response soon after this is not to continue to argue, but it's to go tell others. We haven't got there yet. But I think this brings up just important questions for us. As we're confronted with who Jesus is, like, who do we understand him to be? And are we looking to him to be the authority of how it is that we order our lives, how it is that we worship, how it is that we really worship in spirit and truth? Like this woman is at a crossroads, I think, you know, we need to consistently be asking ourselves, you know, like this woman, have I manufactured false idols and that I'm trying to find satisfaction for my soul? Do I need to be restored by the ultimate restorer? Do I need to be reborn really in the way in which I think about what worship really is? Do I need to be reborn spiritually for the first time and be saved? You know, how do you respond to this Jesus and this like cutting way in which he lovingly says, like, look, what are you actually seeking? Who do you actually want? And I think we need to be asking ourselves, what am I seeking? What am I worshiping? Who do I actually want? Is it Jesus? If it's not, we're out of alignment. And so I think we need to then ask the Spirit of God to work in us to say, Jesus, I just want you. I can't be satisfied by anything else. Forgive me for how I looked to other things for satisfaction. I just want you. And so with that in mind, I do want to close in prayer. I want to give you just some time to do that toward the end here. I'll kick us off in prayer. I do want to say thanks again for joining us on the Drivecast. I do hope you'll join us again tomorrow. Now, Father, I thank you for your word, and I ask that we would be able to rightly worship in spirit and truth, that we would receive you and we would be directed and guided by the Holy Spirit, that we would realize that worship is not about a location, but it's really a lifestyle. And we know these phrases, but Lord, let us live them for your glory, for our good. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.